Psalm 45, verse 3. Gird your sword on your side, you mighty one. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously in the cause of truth, humility, and justice. Let your right hand achieve awesome deeds. Amen. Maybe see. Anywhere is home. Amen.
Yes.
Christ is our Lord, and we anxiously await his return, that we might be home, that wonderful home on the other side of the Jordan,
yes,
where our God is waiting on us. Amen. Once again, good morning to the congregation. It's good for us to be here. It's wonderful that God has blessed us on last Lord's Day with two babes in Christ. People
yes.
came forward and put Christ on in baptism, and what a wonderful, wonderful thing it was for us to witness that and have them know that full well God has placed them in the ark of his care. I want to talk to you today about growing up. Everybody's familiar with childhood games, some more than others. Some just wouldn't play. But hopscotch is one that comes to my mind, and tag. There was marbles and musical chairs, dodgeball and jump rope. We played tug of war, and boy, did we run till the night came, truth or dare and tic-tac-toe. We played pickup sticks until we couldn't play anymore. And more than anything else, children were going to be children, and as a result of that, we also played the dozen. Oh yeah, we played the dozen. Wasn't a nice thing to do, but we did it. Anyway, we played a lot of games when we were children, and there's nothing wrong with being a child at all. And when you're the right age to be a child, there's absolutely nothing wrong to be a child as long as you're the right age to be one. Let me say that again. There's nothing wrong with being a child when you're the right age to be a child.
Yes.
I mean, children that are 2 and 3 years old, we look at them, we say, you know what, they 2 years old going on whatever. But we just don't want them to be two because they don't seem like they're two, Brother Jay. Amen. And then we got adults who are 50, 60, 70 years old acting like they're 2 years old. Still playing tic-tac-toe and hopscotch and playing a dozen. The Bible never says that children ought to be blamed for just being children. It doesn't say that. As a matter of fact, it says, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 19:14. But if time passes and you're no longer a child, but you're still acting like a child, there is something incredibly wrong with that. Just imagine for a second, those of us who assembled this morning in the congregation, what it would look like if everybody got up with their little toy truck or their airplane or their little dolls, and they just sat on the floor and just milled all around and making their noises and rushing around like little children in a congregation. Imagine how that would look.
Yes.
Listen, there's some characteristics of childhood that we need to have, such as innocence.
Yes.
Innocence is lost much too quick because of the influence of the world. It's lost. Some characteristics of childhood, such as humility, we need to have. Every adult ought to strive to possess those characteristics. But there are other characteristics like childish ways of thinking, like gullibility, and like gossip. It's childish malice and all deceit. There's the childhood practice of hypocrisy and envy and slander. And those things ought to be left behind when people become adults. And if they're not left behind, then growing in Christ has gone very, very wrong. Very wrong. Again, God doesn't blame children for thinking like children. But if people have grown up and become adult, and if they're still thinking, speaking, and behaving like children, let me say it again, something has gone wrong. Every adult child that's present here this morning, you need to grow up. You need to grow up. Every one of you that's adults that are still acting like children, that fall on the floor and kick your legs up when you don't get your way, that your mouth come from here to the door when you don't get your way, you need to. And you know what's so amazing about that? You know you need to grow up as well, but you just won't want to do it. You don't want to do it. Some people just want to continue to play games all of their lives. They never, ever seem to grow up. And what is it about that? Why can't you? Because you just simply don't want to. But you need to. We all need to just grow up. There's a word in the Bible. That word is called edify. It comes from the Latin word edifice, which means to build up, to strengthen more firmly, to establish, to instruct and improve. It's not God's purpose for newborn babes and his family to be spiritually undersized. It's just not. He's commanded that each one of us experience a healthy growth in Christ. And there are some scriptures that he has given us that his children not remain static in the same condition over and over and over every waking day of their lives. You know what happens when water just remains stagnant? You know what happens? It starts to stink. Amen? Talk about Flint, Michigan. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says these words. But you grow. The word you in there, but it's inferred. But you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Yes. Ephesians 4:29. You let no corrupt speech. The word you in there, but it's inferred. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth that is childish, but such as is good for edifying as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear you. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 19. So then let us follow after things which make for peace, and things whereby we may edify one another. Romans 15:2, let each one of you please his neighbor for that which is good, unto edifying, unto building each other up, not tearing each other down. Let us please his neighbor for that which is good, that we might build them up. I need you more than anything else to continue to build me up, for I'm going to do the same thing for you in Christ. We need to build each other up and not allow the world to tear us down either. Tell you something, these are passages, just a few that's in the scripture. They are sufficient enough to show that God is not pleased unless we are growing. We've got to grow. We've got to. So in order to obey these scriptures, we must be edified, strengthened and instructed, more firmly established and improved in God's word. For when proper growth is not experienced, God is not pleased. He's just not pleased. You know, there's not a midget in the world, I imagine, that's happy with being a midget. Maybe he's happy within himself. Maybe he is. But his growth has been stunted for some reason in his conception. He said something had happened in his life as he was being born that he could not grow the way he needed to grow. God does not plant seed as humans plant seeds. He doesn't do that. God plants seeds in us and he expects us to grow into perfection. Not only grow into perfection, but continue to grow in the nurture and admonition of his word. We are to never stop growing in Christ. Never. But some people get all these years under their belt in the church, and they feel like, you know, I've been in the church 20, 30, 40 years. I don't have to grow anymore. I'm already where I need to be. You're probably right. And you're never going to get where you ought to be, because you've stopped yourself from growing in God's word. Listen. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, we find that the Apostle Paul He severely rebukes those Christian brethren. Let's go over there and read this. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Come go with me. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In this passage of scripture, we understand that a sufficient amount of time has passed since these people were converted. And they should have grown enough now to at least be able to teach. My question is to you, why aren't you teaching? Have you not grown enough to be able to teach? Or are you just neglecting the fact that you can and you just won't? More than anything else, the Lord's body needs to have teachers. Why are you not teaching? Have you not grown to the point where you can teach? Have you not? Have you not had God's instructions to the point where you can use them to teach somebody else about his word so that they might grow as well? There's enough time that's passed, church. And enough time had passed, the Hebrew writer says, listen, you've grown enough to at least be able to teach. But instead, just like us, that old familiar and shameful refrain appears. You need someone to teach you the elementary principles of the gospel as well. Some of us, to our shame, can't even quote the plan of salvation to help somebody save their souls. Why is that? You're old enough to be on a strong diet for full-grown men, but instead, you're just like us. You're not able to bear it. You're not able to bear it. Old enough in the years that you ought to have been able to eat meat, but instead, just like us, milk is all that you can bear. That is shameful. Shameful. Listen, when we just become Christians, I want you to understand that we're babes in Christ. And God expects us to be nourished by the milk of his word. But when we grow up and become mature, God expects us to behave like adults. No more tic-tac and hide and seek. No more running from God's word and your responsibility that he's given to you. Why can't men understand that God has raised them up in the family so they might qualify to be elders and deacons and preachers in his household? Why can't they just accept that responsibility? Because they're still playing those games as children and they just don't want to do it. Mama said, listen, you've grown up enough now that you're strong enough to take this trash out. And I expect you to take the trash out. And that was our way of asking me to take the trash out. Amen?
Yes.
A couple of times I didn't do it. More than a couple of times I didn't do it. You've grown up enough now to be able to operate this lawnmower responsibly. And I expect you to cut the grass. Amen. A couple of times, I didn't. You with me? I didn't do it, Brother Jay. Listen, the judgment day is coming for each and every one of us. And we need to grow up in our responsibilities that God has given to each and every one of us. Our gifts and our talents need to be exercised so that the church can grow. Can grow.
Yes.
There's a time coming in our lives when each and every one of us will have to give account before God. for the things that we've done in this body. Why are we still playing these games? Why are we playing games? In God's house. And he's looking, and we're just still so sassy about it. We'd rather not grow. God expects us to be mature Christians and behave like spiritual adults in his household instead of trying to be nourished exclusively by milk. Looks like that's all we want. We want to get the basis of the scriptures, and we want the preacher to preach sermons about the scriptures that we know so we can quote them with him. But don't go any deeper than that, because I might not understand that. And I might not like the sermon because I'm just not that deep. Why not? Don't you know that you can teach me something too? Nobody here knows everything. Stop drinking milk all the time. Stop with this superficial stuff in your life. Let's go a little bit deeper than that so that we can understand who God is. Yes. Not only understand who he is, but live in the depths of love that God has called us to live in his son Jesus Christ, in his kingdom, that we might expect heaven as our reward. Let me tell you something. You've grown up, you can continue to drink milk all you want, but you're going to find yourself with a big problem, because milk doesn't nourish you, doesn't give you everything you need as you continue to grow. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. After you reach the age of 50 years old, vitamin D just doesn't replenish in your system like it needs to. There are other things we need to do to get that vitamin D. Now, when you're younger than that, you can go out in the sun, you can drink your milk, get everything you need for vitamin D. But you need a supplement after you're 50 years old to continue to get the vitamin D. And when people don't get the vitamin D, they have to go see a doctor. It's just things that we need to understand as adults that we have to do for ourselves that we might live and grow. We're talking about our spiritual relationship with Christ. We're talking about our relationships with our husbands and wives. How much do we give to those relationships that we might grow? You know the old adage, grow old with me, the best is yet to come, is it? Grow old, are you just growing old and they're sitting beside you? You're not growing with them together? Too many times couples grow apart than growing together. We know, listen, we got to stop playing games like that. We've got to grow in the graces of God individually and collectively as families, as children and parents, as friends and relations. Relationship matters to God. And if we can't grow together, we can't grow in Christ. Stop playing these games with each other. We're talking about real life. We're talking about going to heaven. Stop drinking the milk. Stop living your life superficially. Especially when it comes to serving God, let's dig a little bit deeper. His wells run way, way deeper than we can think or imagine. And if you were just trying, you would be drinking forever. Yes. Told a lady at the well, that in John 4, Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob, listen, do you know who I am? I can give you water that you will never, ever thirst again. Just drink deeply of me. We've got to stop being superficial and drinking all that spiritual onshore. Like you're 90. We're old enough to be on a strong diet for full-grown men. We're old enough in years that we ought to be able to just eat the spiritual meat from God. But instead, milk is all that we can bear. It's all we can bear. And God is not satisfied with our progress. He's just not. Just like in the book of Hebrews, if God was not pleased with the Hebrew Christians' lack of growth, is there any reason to think that he would be any more favorably disposed toward us whose spiritual growth has been negligible, a flat out zero? We ought to let's just grow up. Let's grow up. Parents used to tell us that all the time. Just grow up. You know, You know the difference between a guy that's an old fool and one that's a young fool? The old fool is not going to grow anymore, but the young fool grew into an old fool. He still grew. Amen? And I'm going to tell you right now that if you don't grow in the graces of Christ, in the spiritual relationship with Christ, you're still going to grow. But you're not going to grow the way that God wants you to grow. And there was a parable in Matthew 13, brother. It's a parable about the wheat and the tares. And he went out and he planted some good seed. The Bible says, and the good seed came up. But you know what came up right beside him? The tares came up right beside him. You ever grew up with somebody that you thought were going to turn out good? Grew up right beside him, and you know him really well, but you can't really associate with him today. So who's the wheat and who's the tares? You or is it them? Have you grown up in the wrong way, or have they grown up in the wrong way? Let me tell you something, church. We are growing up right beside each other in Christ. And we ought to be able to edify one another that we might grow spiritually, thereby build each other up. Let's build each other up. Let's understand that God has called us to be a children of God, to get along in his house, to grow in his house, to be nourished in his house, to feed off of his word in his house. Just among us, there are hundreds and I would say thousands who, by reason of years, listen to me again, I want you to hear me really good. You ought to be teachers, but you're unable to bear solid food. You're just unwilling to grow. And without a doubt, God is not pleased with you. He's not pleased with you. 1 Timothy says we have the responsibility to instruct one another. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14 says, and we exhort you, brethren, admonish the disorderly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, and be long-suffering towards all. Edify me. All those words describe me. Edify me. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, exhort one another and build each other up, even also you do that. Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19, we know those scriptures. We ought to teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And each and every one of us has a responsibility to do that, and no one is exempt. Build me up with your singing. Build me up. Not with your feelings. Build me up with your singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Edify me. Jude 20 says, but ye beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith. You know what God did for us? God has shouldered each of us with the burden of watching out for the other one. Who's looking out for you? Anybody looking out for you? You ever feel like nobody's looking out for you? I know you're looking out for me, and I'm looking out for you, and God is looking out for all of us because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take the sin away from us. He's looking out for us, so we got to look out for each other because, what is that, James chapter 1, verses 15 and following says, you know what, when our desire is conceived, it turns into sin, and sin, when it's full grown, sin grows up too, amen? Yes. When it's full grown, sin turns into death. Did you get that? So you're going to grow and you're going to die, but why in the interim live your life outside of God? Be built up on your most holy faith. Each man ought to be concerned with his own spiritual well-being. God has given us each other to help guard our spiritual health because we are members of the body. And if all of us function as we should, we too are going to be built up on our most holy faith. You know what God has given us for the edification of each other? It's no revelation. He's given us the body, the church. Church is for our edification. And one thing required of the body is what people don't come get, that edification. We ought to be assembling. Well, that's a tough one right there. I'm going to get it on TV. I'm going to get it off the radio. Well, Brother Collins going to have some CDs. I'll just listen to it then. Amen. It's even online. The body is for our edification, and we are required to assemble. Because these assemblies, they contain material of such a nature to edify those of us who are present. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:26, let us do all things unto edifying. The song service, the songs we sing, should teach and admonish one another. To partake in the Lord's Supper when we assemble is to prevent us from becoming weak and sickly, is to build us up. The word is to be declared in such a way as to exhort and to build us up as we live and encourage each other in Christ Jesus. We ought to be encouraging each other daily. Sometimes I think we forget that as husband and wives, we're brothers and sisters in Christ as well. And we're not too quick to encourage each other in that same household. Not spiritually. She might encourage you to fix that fence that's been broken for 3 years and she's been in here about it. And you might encourage her to fix you a little food. What about your spiritual life? How do you encourage each other in Christ as two people that are members of the body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ? It's a blessing to be married to a Christian. Because of the edification that God has given to us, it's a blessing. And we simply do not take advantage of that. We take each other for granted, just like we take God for granted in our relationships. And there is no edification. I dare you to try to edify your wife or your husband spiritually, instead of trying to fuss with them all the time about the things that they're not doing and you're not doing them. Amen? Either. When's the last time you prayed with your husband or your wife? I mean, flat out got down on your knees and prayed together as husband and wife, edifying one another through prayer. When did you last do it? God appointed overseers, elders in the congregation. And their work is to see that the flock is fed with what it needs to be fed with. Elders watch in behalf of your souls. And all the provisions of this body are for the specific purpose of edifying those of us who comprise the church. To build us up, that we might grow up. No more hopscotch, tic-tac, marbles, no more games. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. You see that? God's purpose in appointing these inspired men to the position was for the perfecting of the saints. And he arranged for our perfection that we might be mature in Christ. God made it possible. But look closely. He only said it in the church. You can't get it anywhere else. You can't get edification from the saints anywhere else beside the church. That's the way God made it. No one can grow spiritually without roots in the church. And whether you think so or not, whether you think the church is all sufficient or not, edification depends upon one thing, and that's where our heart is when it comes to what we think about God and about his word. If we think not of God and think not of his word, we will never be edified because our hearts are not right with God. The passage goes on. You know what it says to us? That God does not want us to be children tossed about to and fro with every wind and whim of doctrine. He didn't want that. He didn't want us to listen to false doctrine. He wants us to become full-grown Christians and grow up into all things unto him. God made us to be holy, church. He made us to be holy. And he established a body. He established a church. Listen to me. God established a church to declare the manifold wisdom which comes from God himself. He said in Ephesians 3:10, the church is going to declare my word, and that church is the manifold wisdom that comes from God. Through the church only can the world understand the mind of God. You can't understand it anywhere else. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, in Caesarea Philippi, upon this rock, prepositional phrase, I, verb phrase, I, personal pronoun, will build, verb phrase, my possessive pronoun. Church is a singular word. Edification is only found in the church, and there is only one, established by Jesus the Christ, God's Son and our Savior. Nobody else promised to build a church. Nobody else built a church except Jesus Christ. And that's where our salvation is. That's where our edification is. That's where we are going to get our ride right from this evil earth into heaven. Christ is coming back to get us, and you've got to believe that.
Yes. Amen.
Don't be tossed to and fro with all of that, playing a dozen as children with God's word. Get yourself together. Come away from your own personal needs and your own, what you think about what God's word ought to say. It doesn't matter what you think. God's word is already settled in heaven.
Yes.
Conform to it. If you're going to go to heaven, you've got to conform to God's word, period. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm not going to mix words. You look at Ephesians 4:4, it talks about all ones. All ones. One Lord, you believe that. One God, you believe that. One faith, one spirit, one body, and that body is the church. And so I declare to you that that body of Christ is a self-edifying body. What other institution has God established for the edification of the saints? There is none. God established the church of Christ. Come see me. I'm not going to mix words about that. I'm not going to be ashamed. Let me tell you something. It took me 15 years to convert my mother to Christ. 15 years. Came up out of the Baptist church because she understood in those 15 years, thank God she didn't die at 14 and a half. And now she's being edified and built up. I declare to you that the church is right. I can't guarantee the people. We all sin and fall short of God's glory. And that's why God has his precious blood to cleanse us from every one of our sins. 1 John. Every one of them. Some of us try to shirk our responsibility. I want you to know that the church of the New Testament didn't attempt to avoid its God-given responsibility and edification, and neither can the church today avert this obligation. We've got to edify ourselves, and we can't do it by proxy. God expects and demands growth of every member of the body of Christ. Every one of us needs to grow. And he's provided for that growth. The New Testament church served in a way that many Christians lived and grew, and they served so as to have the right to expect heaven as a reward. We have a right to expect that.
Yes.
No other institution. He's not coming back for any other institution but the church. And the church is all sufficient for edification. And the congregation is God's only organizational provision for the edification of the saints. You better know it. And you better understand that we are privileged and blessed to be a part of the called of God. It's not God's purpose for newborn babes, nor the spiritually aged in his family, to be undersized, undergrown, or stunted in their spiritual maturity. It's not God's purpose for that. He wants us to just grow up. Let's just grow up. Let's just grow, period. You know, over my time here, I got to tell you, and it's wonderful. God is gracious. To see so many people just grow spiritually in the congregation, it's been a wonderful credit to you, studying God's word and your willingness to grow. It's a credit to you. And I'm going to tell you, I'm happy to be a part of that. So let's continue to grow in the nurture and admonition of God's word, individually and collectively as a body which God has called us out to be. Grow with us. The best is yet. Amen? It's yet to come. It's yet to come. Christians, listen to me. God's people need to grow up spiritually, just as all people need to grow up physically. And if we're still acting like spiritual children when God expects us to be grown up, then growing in Christ has gone very wrong. If the words you speak, if the way you behave, if the secret sins that you keep, if they grew on you, would you be beautiful? How would you look? If they grew on you, would there be any room to spare for spiritual growth? If they grew on you, would there be any room left for God? 1 Peter says to the Jews of dispersion in chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, he says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice. It's childish. Rid yourself of all deceit. It's childish. Rid yourself of all hypocrisy and envy and slander of every kind. Stop playing a dozen with each other. It's childish. And as newborn babes, let's desire the milk of the word, the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, some of us are just not growing. And some of us are not going to allow ourselves to grow because we want to be stuck right where we are. That's why Paul says to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 14:20. Listen to what he says. He's talking to us. He says, brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. Period. Let me get that to you again. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. Then he says, in regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. Boy, that's plain, isn't it? Oh, that's plain. Too many people want to be young again. And that's all right. It's okay with having a youthful heart and youthful exuberance and wanting to be young again, but it's a whole lot different than being old and acting like a child. Amen. Let's grow up in the rich graces of Christ and let's be for God who has called us to be. Let's grow and understand that we can't save ourselves. Let's grow and understand that God's word is right, and whatever's contained in God's word is what we ought to adopt in our lives, for his very words are going to save our souls. Nothing else. You can put in it what you want or decide to interpret it any way you want to interpret it. God's word is right. You can't interpret the way you want to, and I can't interpret the way I want to, because it'll take away from its saving power. God wants to save your life, and I need you to stop acting like a child. Let me tell you, I need you to do that. Me personally, this is a personal battle for me, so that you can understand that your soul needs to be saved. And why are you waiting? Why you keep holding up on it? You know your soul needs to be saved. Stop acting like a child and allowing sin to just be the forefront of your life. It doesn't look like sin to you, but it is, because you're not following God totally. You got some of you, some of God. And your thought pattern is, I'm still a Christian. But you know what that is? It's not true. It's just not true. Let me tell you how you can make it true. He says in John 6:45, it's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that had heard none of the Father, comes unto me. Right? So you got to hear God's word. And you got to believe that Jesus is the Christ. John 8:24 says, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. You can play those games if you want, but you need to believe that I am the Christ. If not, you're going to die in your sins playing those games. You got to repent. Jesus met some people in Luke 13:3-5 playing those games about the people in Siloam. He said, listen, those people in Siloam were wicked and evil, Lord. Jesus says, yeah, they might have been. But your sin isn't any less evil or wicked. And I tell ye, nay, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That means that just like the people in Siloam died for their sins, you're going to die for yours. Because you're playing games thinking that your sin is less severe than someone else's. A lie is just as severe as murder. Sin is sin is sin. If you don't repent of it, you're going to die. You're going to die. Stop playing games with God. Let him save your life. You can't save your own life. Let's confess Christ. Let's confess him. Romans 10:9-10. With the mouth, man makes that confession. With the heart. It's a mouth and a heart matter. You must understand that God looks at the heart. Confession is made unto salvation. Confession unto salvation. We got to be baptized in water for remission of our sins. And why are you being baptized in water? So that Christ can add you to the church. Acts chapter 2. Why are you being baptized in water? So that your sins can be washed away. Acts 22:16. Ananias says, Saul, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise now and be baptized, washing away your sins. Wash them away. Why be baptized in water? Because it puts you in Christ. Nothing else puts you in Christ except baptism into Christ. Colossians chapter 2 says it's a circumcision not done by the hands of man, but by God. Amen. Amen. Galatians 3:26-27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So if you hadn't been baptized into Christ, you've just been baptized. That's a little bit different because the Bible doesn't say for as many of you have been baptized. It says for as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So if you hadn't been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, you don't have Christ. And if you don't have Christ, 1 John, you don't have God. So let me encourage you. Let me edify you today. Let me build you up. Let me urge you to answer the call of the gospel. Grow up in Christ. Let's grow towards Christ. Let's encourage each other. Let's be for God what he's called us to be, a people of his own. Amen. And every now and then, when he asks you to, go cut that grass. Go empty that trash. Do what God asks you to do. Amen. We can help you to do that. Why don't you come? We stand and sing the invitation song.